think, with the sound system tonight. But, you know, I felt a little different approach tonight. I was asked to teach, but I'm going to share with you what I've been through past week and what we've experienced. And through that, I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit would birth some teaching for us. And so, Lord, I just thank you that your word is the rhema word of the Lord. And we just decree in this atmosphere that the rhema word would go forth and that it would arise now. And Lord, I thank you that just as even that, Lord, your voice is emphatic. You have all power, Lord. You are full of power. And so, Lord, we just welcome the power of the Holy Spirit to come and to speak the word of Jesus over us tonight. Lord, I pray that the rhema word of your Spirit will go forth over your children. That, Lord, by your own word, you would minister to your kids tonight. And, Lord, you know where I am, and you know how much I need you. And so I just welcome and I ask for the anointing of the Spirit to come and to fill every area of my void and of myself so that I become just your vessel, Lord. And so, God, I just thank you that you're here and you're going to teach us about walking closely. In Jesus' name. Well, take your Bible and turn with me to John 10. I think it is on. Okay. Well, let's look at John 10. It says, and this is probably one of our most familiar chapters, but we just want to hear with fresh ears tonight of the Word of the Spirit. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And one thing I really wanted to focus in on is the voice of Jesus. In verse 3, "To him the doorkeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." I don't think there's anything more precious to me than the voice of Jesus. And that we, because we're heirs, because we're his kids, because we're his sheep, we know the voice of Jesus in this realm. We get to hear the voice of Jesus in this realm and in this atmosphere. That's mind-blowing. The very one who spoke all that we see and all that we know into existence. He just spoke it. And yet He can speak a word within our spirit. We can comprehend it and receive it and walk in it. That's magnificent. That is full of glory and wonder. Look at verse 4 says, "But when He puts forth all His own, He goes ahead of them, Listen to what we do. The sheep follow Him because they know His voice. Now, there's an interesting thing about the voice of Jesus. There are a lot of people who fear the voice of the Lord. They wonder and they fear, I think, because part, they fear that He's going to speak in a tone of condemnation to them or a tone of judgment. We've all grown up in those religious atmospheres and those atmospheres of not life, but atmospheres of death. You know, the law of sin and death has ruled and reigned to the point that it has really brought disgrace on the voice of the Lord. And so there's this fear of condemnation and of judgment. They also fear that Jesus is going to ask them to do something. And so, to keep away from those things, we have people who follow from a distance. And that was the question that I felt posed of the Lord tonight, is how closely are we following Jesus? Are we following Him from a distance, far away? Or are you following Him so closely tonight that you can look into His eyes and see His pain? Are we following Him at such a distance that we have become numb to the things of Jesus and the things of the Spirit? Or are we walking so closely with Jesus that we can reach up and touch His wounded side? Those who choose, and this is a word for all of us. It's not outsiders. This is for here, for us. Because there are areas in our life where we just really do not want to let Jesus come into. Because we're afraid of the change. We fear the change. And we fear His glory. But what, I'm going to tell you something. For those who are following from a distance, they'll only see glimpses, because a glance can only produce a glimpse. But if you walk so closely with Jesus that you're in a place to where you can gaze into those Galilean eyes, you see the pain in His eyes. If you gaze into the eyes of Jesus, you'll be totally transformed for the rest of your life. Where are you tonight? In each individual area of your life, where are you? How closely are you following Jesus? You know, one thing, when you follow Jesus from a distance, your vision's not very clear. Because like I said, when you're following from a distance, you're getting glimpses because you're just glancing. It's hard to follow the example of Jesus when you're not walking closely. And so, when we follow from a distance, we can't even really hear Him call our name. So He said that His sheep would know His voice and follow. But when we walk from a distance and we follow from a distance, we can't even really hear Him calling to us. You wonder of coming events. You live a life of worry and fear and anxiety simply because we don't follow Jesus closely. It's like, you know, we're sheep without a shepherd. Now verse 10 is it's really powerful. Thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now, one thing that I think that we should know is abundance is not possessions. Abundance is not materialism that the church today has made it out to be. But I want to tell you, abundance is the things of the Spirit. Abundance is walking in the Spirit-filled life and allowing the Spirit. You know what walking in the Spirit means? It means allowing the Holy Spirit to do what Jesus sent Him to do. And so, walking in the Spirit is the abundant life. And that's what Jesus has given to us. You see, that's true treasure. That's treasure that moth and rust cannot corrupt. That's pure treasure. That's the abundant life. And the abundance of life that Jesus is talking about is the fullness of the Spirit living in and through you. Now, I want to say we got to experience part of that this past week. We experienced verse 3 in a real way Thursday night. To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I want you to pay attention to that, leads them out. And turn with me to Psalm 107. Psalm 107 and verse 19. Did y'all know it's biblical to go to the beach? We're going to find out. What a night of revelation. Yes, we get to go to the beach. Psalm 107, 19, it says, "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and for His wonders to the sons of men. Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of His works with joyful singing." Listen to this. "Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He spoke and raised up a stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They rose up to the heavens, they went down to the depths. Their soul melted away in their misery. They reeled and staggered like a drunken man, and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out of their distresses. He caused the storm to be still, so that the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they were quiet. So He guided them to their desired haven." We went to the beach this past week, Wednesday through Sunday, and there was a men's group. It was a group of about, 8 or 10 of us at least, maybe a couple more. And Thursday night, we had a connection through a man here in Selma that we got to eat at Shrimper Joe's house. Shrimper Joe has a shrimp business on the Bon Secour River, and that's the first river on the Mobile Bay, at the end of the Mobile Bay. And so we had two boats down there. I had my boat, and my friend had his boat, and we went by water to go eat at Shrimper Joe's. Now, Shrimper Joe had just received his first treatment for bladder cancer Thursday during the day. Thursday night, we had a feast like nothing I've ever seen before, laid out before us. And this man had spent his whole day cooking for us and preparing. And it was really just a true picture of a servant's heart, that he would put himself behind so that he could serve the people of the Lord. And we had the most awesome time of fellowship, and it was just really wonderful. When we got through eating and things, we all were wanting to pray for Shrimper Joe. And the whole group of us, we got him in the middle in a chair and in his den, and we all laid hands on him, and we prayed the prayer of faith. And I'm telling you, God really moved in that atmosphere. Now, Shrimper Joe was a Southern Baptist man. But I'm telling you, the Lord moved for him. And by vision of the Spirit, the pool of Bethesda opened up right there in the middle of that den. And the glory of God was in that atmosphere. Okay? Now, we left this charged atmosphere full of glory and wonder and splendor about 8:30 or 9 o'clock. And I don't know if y'all keep up with the moon cycle, but we were at like a quarter moon last Thursday. And it was dark. It was very dark. Let me be very clear. It was very, very dark. And I have my boat's equipped with some pretty awesome electronics. It has GPS. It has weather radar. It has this map that tells you exactly where the channel is, no matter where you are, all this kind of stuff, you know. And we headed out from that glory-filled atmosphere into an atmosphere of no peace at all. We had total peace at Shrimper Joe's to a transition of no peace. And started out the Bon Secure, and my friend had already gone ahead of me in his boat. And both of these are really big boats. My boat's bigger than his a little bit, but my boat is about 26 feet long. It's a center console. It's a pretty big boat. And I couldn't see anything. Even with all those high-tech electronic gauges, I was in a mess. And I started feeling myself tense up, you know, getting stressed. And the other guys in the boat with me, they were all on their cell phones texting people back and whatever, you know. And I said, look, guys, y'all got to help me watch for the stuff. And so everybody turned around and got focused in and all this, you know. Well, it was some treacherous water for me. I felt, verse 26 and verse 27, they rose up to the heavens, they went down to the depths, their soul melted away in their misery. They reeled and staggered like a drunken man and were at their wits' end. Now, I had just seen by the Spirit at Shrimper Joe's not 15 minutes earlier, I saw the Pool of Bethesda open. I had total peace, total confidence that Shrimper Joe is healed of the Lord. We had received word from the Spirit, and things were moving for Shrimper Joe. And now we were out at our wits' end in a treacherous place. And so we all just kind of began asking the Lord for help. We really needed Him. And it was a wonderful thing, verse 28 and verse 29, well, through 30 actually. It says, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out of their distresses. He caused the storm to be still, so that the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they were quiet. And so He guided them to their desired haven. Where in the world would we be if it were not for Jesus leading us and guiding us through the storms of life? We'd be in a mess, y'all. I love that key word, guide. You see that? He guided them to their desired haven. Now, when you are guided, you must come in line and in agreement with where you're going. You must become in agreement with where you're being led. If you're going to follow your guidance, you have to get in agreement with that. I can't ask Joey to guide me to the kitchen over there, and he goes to the right, and I choose deliberately to go to the left. I have to become in agreement with his leadership and his guidance over me to get to the kitchen. And so, if you're not in agreement with your guide, in reality, you are resisting and rejecting and fighting where you're going. Now, Jesus is leading. Jesus is guiding. And all He's looking for are some good followers. Jesus is looking for good followers tonight. And I thought about that word guide, you know. In John 16:13, it talks about the Holy Spirit and how that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And I believe that we, Thursday night, we really experienced that very thing. Something very powerful happens and begins to shift when we start agreeing with what the Holy Spirit says. What the Holy Spirit is leading, and we start agreeing to it and with it, with the Word of the Lord. If you agree with the Word of the Lord over your life, something very powerful starts to transact for you. And so when we walk in agreement with His guidance, what happens is we start following. We start going to the right instead of to the left. And we start following closely. We start following to the point that we begin to gaze into His eyes. And I believe if we'll follow long enough that 2 Corinthians 3:18 will begin to happen, where we are totally transformed into the same image as from glory to glory. And all, not only that, but we'll begin to experience Galatians 5:16, and that is walking in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It was just so so prophetic in nature of what all was happening Thursday night. I had a leader in front of me. And because of the difference, I've already told you my boat is bigger than his, and it had more people in it. It's heavier. Because of the difference in weight, I could not run at the same RPM or the same speed as he could. He was running at a slower speed, and it would plane him off, get him up out of the water. You know, when a boat takes off, you do like this, and then it falls forward, and that's called planing off. And so he was able to run his motor at a lesser RPM in order to plane off, while I was having to run mine at a high RPM, which produces more speed, in order for mine to plane off, had more weight. And so it was difficult, it was very difficult for me to follow him, because he was running and I was having to constantly hold back, and we were pulling, we were plowing, is what you call it, when your boat's just running like that and not planing. And that makes it really hard. And on top of that, being at night, pitch dark, all that good stuff. I was having to follow at a distance, and I was miserable. That heavy weight will really mess you up spiritually. And what happens is that heavy weight begins to get you out of balance, and in turn, it's going to get you off course. Now, Jesus, He's the leader, you know, in the boat picture here. Jesus is going at that steady, constant speed. I'm following, and because of the heaviness of the weight, I'm constantly doing this number, going back and forth, and He's just, you know, I'm increasing and decreasing. And in my own strength, trying to manage it. Now, the prophetic call of the Lord is really for you, for me, just to throw the throttle down, to plow straight into our leader, to where we become totally one. Just run the boat slap into Him, so that we become one with the leader. Y'all see that picture? And what happens is you begin, when you heed that call to throw the throttle down and just to go with no reservation, just go with no fear, what happens is there's such a union that that takes place between Jesus and you that you cannot tell where one ends and the other begins. And that's walking in the bond of unity. So listen, don't let fear hold you back. Don't let fear keep you from becoming one with your leader, one with your God, one with Jesus. You go into the glory and be transformed. That verse 30 says, "Then they were glad because they were quiet," talking about the waves. "So He guided them into their desired haven." I tell you, there was great rejoicing in the house of God once we got back to that little no-wait canal where the house was at Orange Beach. It was a time of great celebration. Everybody in the boat was just tense. We all talked about it, you know. Some of you tonight may be in some really intense storms. You're out and you feel like you're in utter darkness. The storms of life are beating you up. You're living a life full of the unknowns. And so I ask you, may I admonish you in the name of Jesus to allow the God to take you to your desired haven. Will you allow Jesus to woo you into His rest and to pull you to His side? I challenge you to heed the beckoning call of the Holy Spirit and to enter into the rest of your beloved. And so, for those of us who are going through some real storms in these seasons right now, one of the key things to riding a wave in a boat is to bend your knees. So that tells us, whatever it takes, the word of the Lord is, whatever it takes to get through the storm, you do it. Push through and get through the storm. Just bend your knees, weather the storm, and allow Jesus to woo you into His presence. Psalm 119, 71 and 72, let me read that over you. It says, "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn Your statutes. The law of Your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces." It was good for me that I was afflicted, just so I could learn His ways and learn His heart. Riding through that darkness was totally worth it, just so I could come to a greater appreciation of the peace of God and the presence of Jesus. Let me speak this over you tonight. The storm that you're walking through is going to surprisingly work out for your good. That's not my word. That is not my word over you. That is the word of the Lord over you. Romans 8:28 says, "But all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to His purpose." Will you believe that word of the Lord over you tonight? That the storm that you're walking through is going to surprisingly work out for your good. I take ownership of that for myself. And I receive the good work of God over my life, even in this storm. And so may the peace of the Lord ever be with you. May you look deep into the eyes of Jesus, into the Galilean eyes. And by doing so, be totally transformed and totally captivated with His heart of love over you, so that you no longer be satisfied to follow at a distance. And I speak over you that you feel at home in the glory of God, and that you would just allow the Holy Spirit to do His work in you, to change you into His likeness, the likeness of Jesus. I speak over you in Jesus' name. You know, there was this, I argued with the Lord, this is just a side note, I argued with the Lord Saturday afternoon for about 15 minutes, because All logic told me that I needed to go to the Calypso Joe's at Orange Beach Marina because it was close. And I knew that the Holy Spirit was prompting me to go to the original oyster bar under the Pensacola Pass Bridge. Now that is a good 45-minute trip, one way. And I knew it would be dark coming back, but I know that water well enough. So I kept arguing with the Lord, and I said, you know, it makes sense for me to be able to conserve gas and save gas and just go over here to Calypso's, Lord. And I'm going to cut my motor off for 15 minutes just sitting out there arguing. And I don't advise that. But I went to the oyster bar, of course, and just some really beautiful appointments of the Lord happened. And it was just awesome. I met this lady who, her husband died 2 years ago. She's 45. She moved down from Arkansas. And I was able to speak some life into her through the Word of the Spirit. And she received it. And there was another guy there that I got to speak over. But I left there, and the water patrol was right out in front of my boat where I had the boat tied up at the restaurant. And I just knew I was going to get a ticket, you know, for something. I didn't do anything wrong, but I just knew I was going to get a ticket. And hallelujah, I didn't. But he delivered me out of my trouble, you know. I headed back Saturday night, and I just felt the Lord tell me just to stop. You know, I was running 30 miles an hour, and I just stopped. And so I stopped the boat right in the middle of the bay, and right as I did, there was just the fireworks show began on the beach. And it was just so cool just getting there, sit there and watch that. And I just went up and sat in the front of my boat after the fireworks thing stopped. And I was sitting there, and just all around me, the dolphins, porpoises, whatever you like to call them, their blowholes, you could just hear them just pew, 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 just all around the boat. And so that was just awesome. But when I was sitting there, and I had my arms out like this, I'm probably sweating, but I had my arms out like this, sitting up in front of the console, and I thought, good grief, I know I put deodorant on before I left the house. And y'all, it was awful. It was awful. And I was sitting out there in the middle of the dark, in the water, by myself with the dolphins around me, and I got so embarrassed. And I thought, my Lord, I cannot believe I smelled like this in front of those people. It was just mortifying me. Well, Sunday, I took my boat out at the boat ramp, and I got up, you know, just, it was intense. It's intense taking a big boat out by yourself. But I got up there, and I was, you know, really quick, and I stepped up there, and I looked down, and there was a purple onion that long right where I had been sitting. I was never gladder in my life to see an onion. I was so relieved. But right there where I had the boat parked, they had a, you know, balcony where people eat outside. Somebody just taking it off the salad and throwing it in my boat. So, anyway, yay for that. Well, I appreciate you all entering into the rest of the Lord and following closely to Jesus. Closer than ever before, and just, I really challenge you, just gaze into the eyes of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let it be sealed over you in Jesus' name. Amen.